don't you?
Oh, a little bit. I'm an old lady, but I'm still going strong.
I know. You actually were a pediatrician and an oncologist.
Pediatrician, hematologist, oncologist. I got my boards in nutrition, and I'm a psychiatrist. But all I'm doing these days is what's called the Bowen technique, because it cures everything from bunions to getting people off the heart transplant list. And I found out that I had Lyme disease, and there wasn't any good test for it, so I have developed a test for Lyme disease. But I've been working with this test since 1955.
Well, why don't you tell us just a little bit about Lyme disease and your experience with it? And this is a terrible disease, and the tragedy is that so many people just are not being diagnosed, and then they're not being treated.
That's right, and I had just come up with the fact that they've made it a mystery disease and put it in the closet, and they want it to stay that way for a lot of reasons.
All right, fine. Well, how does it present? What sort of symptoms do people have when they have Lyme disease, or does it have multiple symptoms?
It affects every cell in the body, but it particularly likes the heart and the brain. So you have all kind of mental symptoms and all kind of joint and muscle symptoms, but it affects everything in the brain. And it's being diagnosed with many different things.
And I think the thing that people have to understand is this is produced by a spirochete, which is very, very similar to the spirochete that produces syphilis, which when I went to medical school, they said that no syphilis and you know medicine, because there were so many manifestations of syphilis. Well, we don't have that much syphilis anymore, but now we have a new spirochetal infection. And when did this thing develop? When I went to medical school, it never heard of Lyme disease.
Well, actually, in 1975, in Lyme, Connecticut, a bunch of children developed multiple arthritic symptoms. A doctor went down there to investigate this, and he said that it was rheumatoid arthritis. But there were a lot of people that didn't agree with him, especially the mothers, because you just don't develop rheumatoid arthritis a whole bunch of people at one time.
No, it's not a contagious disease, so there was some other cause for it. So then what happened?
So then what happened was a Rocky Mountain laboratory came in and drew blood on the children, and this is very interesting. What he found was an unknown Borrelia.
In other words, it's some sort of spirochetal type of bacteria. Right.
Unknown. It had never been known before, so it had to have been just created, or somebody hadn't found it yet.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Let me just say one other thing.
We're going to a break.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is a new audience. Our guest now is Dr. Joanne Whitaker, and she's talking about Lyme disease. She's had Lyme disease for many years herself, and she had developed a blood test very specifically for Lyme disease. And the problem is that the traditional test really is not that accurate. So Dr. Whitaker was telling us that it was back in 1975 in a place called Lyme, Connecticut, which incidentally is just across the straits from a biological warfare laboratory on a place called Plum Island. There's a book written about that called Lab 257, which we carry. But under any circumstances, these children, a whole flock of them came down with rheumatoid arthritis, or at least they appeared to be some sort of an inflammatory arthritis. They brought in a doctor, and he said, oh, it's rheumatoid arthritis. And the mother said, hey, you know, a whole flock of children don't get rheumatoid arthritis at the same time. They brought in a laboratory. They found out that there was a new organism that had never been seen before. So pick up the story there, Dr. Whitaker.
Okay, it was a Borrelia organism like syphilis. And so the guy that found this, it didn't have a name, it was Borrelia, so he named it after himself. Borrelia burgdorferi. His name was burgdorferi, so he named this unknown Borrelia, Borrelia burgdorferi. It occurred in Lyme, Connecticut, and so therefore the disease was called Lyme disease, and the bug that caused it was identified as Borrelia burgdorferi.
And, of course, the interesting thing is this was an entirely new disease as far as we know. It had never existed before. And the question is, where did it come from? But anyway, of course, then what happened after the initial cases were diagnosed?
Well, they, as I said, they have made a mystery disease out of it and put it in the closet. But many other diseases are being diagnosed, but they're Lyme disease. I just did a study on 104 cases of ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Every single one of them had Lyme disease.
And, of course, the thing is that ALS is not treatable. Lyme disease is. So if you just get the diagnosis of ALS, why they write you off? But if you have a treatable disease, it's a whole different situation, if properly treated, of course. But first you have to make the diagnosis. So now, every single one of the cases you saw with ALS was actually a case of Lyme disease?
Right. Let me go on with the other diseases, because I want everybody to know all these other diseases. At the same time, we saw 195 cases of clinically diagnosed ALS.
Hold that thought right there.
Okay.
Okay, Dr. Stan, we just bring all of our other stations back on board. Dr. Whitaker. And so Dr. Whitaker was just saying that she had seen a number of cases of ALS, and every one of them had Lyme disease. How many were there that you...
195 ALS, but let me tell you what the other diseases were.
All right, fine.
Okay, 317 MS, 131 Alzheimer's, 35 lupus, 2,122 chronic fatigue, 1,666 fibromyalgia, and 323 Bell's palsy. Now, to me, ALS is the last stage of Lyme disease, and most of the people that I'm studying with these cases we're studying, they're either gravely ill or dead. But they kept nobody treated them for Lyme disease. Just let them die.
All right. Now, of course, how do you treat Lyme disease? How can you counter this? I understand the treatment is very, very difficult once you've made the diagnosis.
Well, the treatment isn't that difficult. You just have to treat the whole person, and you've got to kill the bug. It's pretty simple. So you give all the nutritional supplements you can. You treat them nutritionally, number one, as you should be treating any disease, but you got to kill the bug. And the bug is sensitive to many different good bacterial diseases. Now, I've been on a lot of them, but the best one that I'm on right now is Bioxin and Doxycycline. And the reason I'm on those two drugs is I just had a stroke a month ago from the Lyme disease, I'm sure. So they put me on these two drugs, and I'm doing fine now. And all of my paralysis is gone, and it never affected my brain. But remember, I said that Lyme disease, the bug, the Borrelia burgdorferi, loves the brain and the heart.
And of course, there are various antibiotics that this is sensitive to. Do they have to do sensitivity tests on the organism, or do they more or less treat them empirically, or do they try to find out which of the antibiotics that they're most sensitive to?
Well, they should be doing it. Actually, that's what I'm going to start doing, is more sensitivity tests. But just remember, all these MS patients, Alzheimer's, lupus, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Bell's palsy, they all had Lyme disease.
Well, now, of course, how did you make the diagnosis?
With our test, our fluorescent antibody test.
All right, and, of course, how is that different from the ELISA test or the Western blot that are used so widely?
Because what we, and I developed this test because I found out I had Lyme disease and there were no good tests for it. I've been doing the fluorescent antibody technique since 1955. I used it as a tumor marker, and I've diagnosed all the different infectious diseases all over the world. And this is a technique that is specific, direct, and it finds the bug, the antigen. The rest of the tests look for the antibody. And as you know, with diseases, in the first part of the disease, you don't have any antibodies. And when you get real sick, a lot of times you don't have antibodies either, so that's the reason these tests aren't any good.
All right. Of course, now this is looking for the bug itself, or for the antigen, which is the name we give to the organism, or at least the
Borrelia burgdorferi organism itself.
All right. Fine. Now, what is the incidence, say, of somebody who comes in who doesn't have Lyme disease? How often do you get a false positive with a blood test?
The whole point is that I think everybody has this disease.
Well, of course,
we can't. We're trying to do a healthy study, and we can't find anybody that's healthy that can even do our questionnaire without having some signs and symptoms. And Dr. Mattman, Dr. Lida Mattman, she's worked on this disease a lot. And when she was doing, she actually cultures the organism. We had 613 same draw specimens. I did my test on the 613, and she did the same test on the same people. She cultured the bugs. She grew out 613 Borrelia burgdorferi bugs on every single culture we did on these people.
Well, I know,
and
but
that showed me that this test is good.
Well, now, but the other thing would be, how frequently would they grow out on people who are asymptomatic, or do they grow out on? In other words, does she find them in people who don't have any symptoms?
Well, what she did was she actually, when she was doing this culturing from all the different bloods that were sending to her all over the world. For a long period of time, she found only one negative American dog and one German man. And she thinks everybody has it, too.
I see. Well, of course, then, how does she culture it? What are her techniques that are so special?
Well, I can't go into that, but that's her.
I see. That's sort of her specialty, huh?
That's her specialty, but it's very important what she's done, and she's well recognized. She's written three books.
And what is her name again?
Lida Mattman. She lives in Detroit, Michigan.
And is she a physician? Is she a bacteriologist? What's her specialty?
She's a microbiologist.
Okay, and so she gets people sending specimens to her from all over the world?
Well, they've already closed down her laboratory. That's what's happening. That's the reason nobody wants to get into Lyme disease, because if you diagnose it, they're going to close you down. They're wanting to close me down. And if you treat it, they take your license away from you. This is a serious, serious disease.
Well, of course, some doctors, I know there are probably, they call them the Lyme literate doctors. There's an organization across America of maybe a few hundred doctors who are specializing in Lyme disease. Are you in contact with any of those doctors?
They sent a specimen, yes.
They send the specimens to you to be tested?
Right.
Okay, and of course, are they coming under pressure at all for treating the disease?
Some of them are.
Beg pardon?
Some of them are.
Uh-huh. All right, well, of course, I've talked to, you know, some people here in California who are going to doctors. We talked to one doctor up in San Francisco who is so busy, he's had to close his practice. He won't take any new patients in. So I think the closest doctor we have is up somewhere way in Northern California for people who do have this disease. So what about do many of the people present as chronic fatigue syndrome?
I said we had 2,122 with chronic fatigue syndrome, all had Lyme disease.
Okay. And then, of course, have they responded to treatment, you know?
If they're treated properly. I have to send the people all the way to Pennsylvania. That's where my doctor is for my Lyme disease and the rest of the people. And we found out that there are over 300 people just in Tallahassee alone, the capital of Florida. 300 people were incapacitated with all kinds of different diagnoses. But all those people they had my test, it was positive, they were treated right, and all those people went from being incapable of doing most anything until being healthy human beings. That's how important this is.
Well, I know that there are an awful lot of people out across America. In fact, the government will admit that about 25,000 new cases are reported every year, and they figure that probably it's 10 times that many have the disease every year. So we're talking about an awful lot of people who have this entirely new disease, and this is really what's so striking. It started out just on the East Coast, and then it gradually spread it's borne by ticks, and of course it gradually spread from the East Coast to the point. We're here in California, where a few years ago we didn't have it at all, and now it's very prevalent here. What about throughout the rest of the world? Is it seen throughout the rest of the world as well?
Oh, yes, but the whole thing is that you can't call it just a tick-borne infection, because we have found it in mosquitoes, mites, and fleas, and I think it's in any blood-sucking organism that doesn't have too high a body temperature.
So you think that really it's now spread into the entire insect world? Then?
Right.
All right, well then, of course, what can be done to stop it from spreading even further? Because, of course, as more and more of these insects get it, why, they're going to spread it to more and more people. And as I say, for our listeners out there, the CDC acknowledges that probably, probably a couple of 100,000 people are coming down with this disease every year, and whether it's arthritic or heart or malaise or chronic fatigue or brain abnormality, certainly there's something like... we see that people with chronic fibromyalgia, many of these people are manifesting.
Fibromyalgia is a very good descriptive explanation, or it describes Lyme disease very well, but it doesn't talk about the brain or the heart.
No, I know it doesn't. And of course, that's the problem, is that you just focus in on the on maybe the symptoms, and you're not possibly treating things that might very well be treatable. And of course, when it begins to affect your mind, why that's a terrible, terrible thing.
And most people that have ever had it, they call it brain fog. And when older people get it, they just think, oh, I'm just getting old. But that's not true. It clears up when you treat the Lyme disease.
And, of course, you get rid of this spirochete. And what is so frightening about this, it's an entirely new disease, and nobody ever wants to ask where it came from. Well, Dr. Whitaker, as far as getting doctors, where, if somebody was listening out, and, of course, we have people all across America listening to this program, where would they find a doctor who can treat them for the disease, who is literate and understands, what needs to be done?
God only knows.
Well,
it's sad, but the whole point is you can find them, and you don't have to be, in quotes, a literate doctor. You just have to be open and get the blood test that's going to give the diagnosis that diagnoses the bug.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment or two with Dr. Joanne Whitaker. Of course, you have a question out there across America. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I will tell you that knowing people who, of course, have chronic fatigue, who have chronic fibromyalgia, it destroys their life, destroys their marriages, it destroys their families. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Joanne Whitaker, and I believe you're in Florida, aren't you? Are you in what part
yes,
of Florida?
Yes, I am.
What part of Florida?
Tarpon Springs.
All right, fine. Well, if you have a question about this subject, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, is there any question at all that this disease can be transmitted in blood transfusions or by intimate sexual contact?
Are you asking me that
question? Yes, I am.
Definitely. In fact, every member of the family has it. And I have had over 600 bloods from children that were not diagnosed clinically with Lyme disease, but the blood was only sent in because somebody else in the family had it. And all of those 600 children had Lyme disease, and I hope they were treated, but I doubt it.
All right, so...
And it's in semen, it's in vaginal secretions, it's in placenta, and there are a lot of congenital cases of it.
All right, so you feel that this is really being passed on. I know that some people will, for instance, have a blood transfusion. A friend of mine had a blood transfusion when they had a kidney transplant and developed a chronic fatigue syndrome like afterwards. And I believe that something was in that transfusion. But
you better believe it.
But of course, they don't check the transfusions for these diseases, do they?
No, they don't. And if you did, they'd probably shoot you.
All right.
Now, and especially if you got all positive, which I think they probably are. But now we have a doctor and a microbiologist have tested the bloods, the health, in quote, healthy donors, and found a high percentage of positive in these people. But they used a very unusual way of saying something was positive. Only said it was positive if a certain number of fluorescing organisms were seen.
And now, is this some sort of a Western blot type of test that they're doing?
Absolutely not. It's my test.
Oh, I see. They're using your test then.
Right.
All right. And so they're interpreting it differently than you do?
Right. They have to have a certain number. They didn't want to be shot. I asked Dr. Mattman many years ago. I called Lida Mattman up, who knows more about these cell wall deficient diseases than anybody. And I said, Lida, we need to test the bloods to show that everybody, all those donors, are giving this to other people. There was a big pause. And she said, Joanne, I want to live a little longer. I said, okay, Lida, I got you. We won't do that. But my some of the people that learned to do my test did do it. And they had a high percentage of positive, but they did get some negative, but they used a very unusual interpretation.
And now, of course, is your test being used all across the country today?
Yes, it's been used all across the country. And we actually get more bloods from 14 different countries outside the United States than we do from the doctors here. Doctors here don't want a diagnosis. They can still get their money if they put down ALS, MS, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia.
All right, so then you are, of course, then getting them on referral. Do you have a website where people would be able to get
yes.
in touch with you?
It's Bowen, B-O-W-E-N, .org.
Bowen.org. And can people go there and can they learn more about your work and about your feelings and about your blood test?
Yes. It also tells about this Bowen technique that I went to Australia 40 years ago to learn that cures everything from bunions to getting people off the heart transplant list. And it's very helpful with the Lyme disease. And actually what I've done is I've done cultures on paper before the Bowen technique and after the technique, and there are more bugs after the technique. And I think what happens is this technique works through harmonic vibration the same way the dolphins heal, and it gets the bugs out of the hiding place, out into the blood, so that the antibiotics that you're taking and your immune system can take care of them better.
All right, fine. And what does the Bowen technique involve?
It involves in very special places all over the body just a very small little move over the tendons and muscles. And so you hardly even know it's being done.
Sort of like an acupressure or technique,
no,
a little different than that?
Listen, all the acupunctures, after they take the Bowen, they all use the Bowen technique because it works better and it doesn't have to use needles or anything else. And it's much less strenuous on the person getting it and the person doing it.
All right, fine.
But it is around 40% where the moves you make, which you make on the upper body, lower body, and neck, the moves are around about 40% of the acupuncture points.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us here.
Well, I want to thank you for being here because we've got to educate the people because I think they're the ones going to do something about this.
Amen. We'll be back in just a moment here.
All right.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago. And it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Joanne Whitaker. If you're out in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think that there's a great deal about Lyme disease that is so poorly understood in America today. And they're certainly not getting much help from the CDC, but then we didn't get much help from them when we were concerned about the children being poisoned with the mercury, to the point where today one in every five or every six children has either a neurodevelopmental abnormality or a behavioral abnormality, and it never was like this before. What is going on that is making so many children so sick? Well, Dr. Whitaker, if we just got a couple of more minutes, what's the parting thought you would like to leave with our listeners this afternoon?
Well, I'd just like to go back to talk about the dentist. I think the bugs love the gums in the mouth. And actually, I went to Dr. Chris Husser in Reno to get my gum. I had to have a tooth pulled. I went to go get it cleaned out properly. And I took the material that he cleaned out of my mouth and did my test on it, the direct fluorescent antibody technique. And that material was absolutely loaded with Borrelia burgdorferi bugs.
All right. Well, I'm sure that they're very prevalent, and I think that this is a very much undiagnosed condition, and I think it's so vitally important that people do at least think about this, and physicians begin thinking about it and testing it, and learn how to get the proper set of testing. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was Dr. Joanne Whitaker, and she's devised a technique of her own. We'd read about it on the Internet, and I did want to talk about her, at least get her thoughts on it. She's been around a lot longer than I have, and, of course, has done a lot of work and really has worked in a number of different fields in medicine. But right now she's trying to get people to recognize the real threat of Lyme disease. But then we have so many of these strange diseases that we never had before. Has anybody ever asked, where did the AIDS virus come from? They'll tell you, we found the evidence of it, 30 years ago or something. But if you check these stories out, they're very, very tenuous at the best. And we do know that the government was planning in 1969 to create a new organism that for which the body would have no immune response. How do we know that? Well, of course, we have the testimony of Dr. MacArthur before the House Appropriations Committee in 1969. For those of you who are skeptical and say, the government wouldn't produce organisms for a new form of mass killing, well, we'll be glad to send you a copy of the testimony. We actually, of course, have that. In fact, really, what was sort of strange was that I was going to have Dr. Len Horowitz as a guest on my program, and this was many years ago when his book, Emerging Viruses, had just come out. And about 3 or 4 days before he was scheduled to appear, in over our fax machine came this extensive government report, and we have the entire text of that report. It's rather large, and I got it. It looked very authoritative, but I wanted to check. It had an address on the back of it, and so I called that number, and it was an organization that actually has all of these government reports. I asked them what it would cost me for a copy. I had the number. They said $250. So somebody spent a lot of money to get a copy of that report and to fax it to me with no name on it. Now, we have the report from other areas, so we know that it's accurate. But, of course, the average individual finds it so difficult to believe that there would be people so wicked within our government that would request $10 million to create a new disease. Now, remember, this is 1969. This is, almost 30 years ago. That they would create a new disease for which there would be, almost 40 years ago now, for which there would be no immune response, a form of mass killing. And, of course, it was about, 6 or 7 years later that we know that the first cases of disease for which there was no immune response began to occur. They began to occur in homosexuals who were used in an experiment. And they were taking an experimental hepatitis B vaccine. We have the report, which I got from the San Francisco Department of Public Health, that of the homosexuals, young idealistic people who actually volunteered to take the hepatitis B vaccine, because, of course, the incidence of hepatitis B is so high among homosexuals, so this was a good place to try this new experimental vaccine. Of the people who took the vaccine, 75% of them contracted AIDS, and probably most of them are long since dead. Now, you have to say that, well, of course, maybe that was just coincidental, but it was not the homosexuals in the general community. They weren't developing the disease. It was only those that took the experimental vaccine. What would make that, you think, maybe be a little suspicious about that? This new disease occurs just shortly after the government has asked for $10 million. And if you want to get a copy of Dr. MacArthur's testimony, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you the appropriate part if you want to get the whole extensive report. Why we have that as well. Fascinating to read what they were talking about. Creating new diseases, not just one, but other diseases as well. Why? Well, because there really are evil people. We have a chronic fatigue syndrome, an entirely new disease that didn't exist before. We have these new types of avian virus coming up, almost looking like somebody had created them, because they will have part human and part animal gene sequences in them. And we know they have the ability to create new diseases. Why should we be surprised when they have the ability to do it, that they're not doing it just to see what's going to happen? Or maybe one of the major agendas of American policy is population control. Now, if that sounds pretty far out to you, you go up on the computer and look up NSSM 200. NSSM 200, that's the National Security Study Memorandum 200, came out in 1974 over the name of that signature of that great American patriot, who, of course, has been indicted in several countries throughout the world for his part in genocide, a man named Henry Kissinger, a longtime member of the Board of Directors of the Council on Foreign Relations, longtime member of the Bilderbergers, a longtime member of the Trilateral Commission, one of the elite who rules the world. But in 1974, they came out with this report on American foreign policy and the importance of America's controlling the populations throughout the world and actually producing abortion as much as we could and doing everything we could to control abortion, to control the population of the entire world. Where did America get off? What gave us the right to control the population of the world? How did they do it? Why, of course, we put up well over $400 million, almost $500 million every year. And that money, of course, is spent, part of it spent on the International Planned Parenthood that is helping our good friends in Red China manipulate their one-child policy. And, of course, if a mother then, has a second child, why, the forced abortion. You know, it's amazing how Planned Parenthood talks about a woman's choice in the United States. and pushes, of course, fascism and encourages the no choice at all, no choice, no child left alive policy that is being brought about, no second child left alive policy in communist China. So Planned Parenthood has one agenda in the United States. Oh, any woman should have a right to an abortion. And, of course, in China, it's only women, of course, can have one child and no more after that. So it's not about choice. It's all about control. It's about population control. We do know, of course, that in many countries, with your tax money, they've actually put IUDs into women. We've stopped using them here because they were so dangerous, but we still insert them into women in poor countries because, of course, they can't sue, and there's nothing they can do, and a lot of them don't even know. The IUDs being put in, they didn't request it, they didn't want it, but it's put in after the pregnancy, and the woman is never told. In other countries, like, of course, the Philippines and Kenya, and I've talked to physicians from both of those countries, why, of course, the World Health Organization came in with free vaccinations, but only for women of childbearing age, from about 15 to 40, free tetanus immunizations. And, of course, there were some people there that noticed that all the women who took the immunizations were having miscarriages, miscarriage after miscarriage, and so there was a sneaky nun over there in the Philippines who got one of the vials of the vaccine, and of course they had it tested, and there was a special vaccine in there that would produce miscarriages, a corrigonadotropin. They knew exactly what they were doing. These women didn't ask for a vaccine that would make them abort their children, but you see, it's all part of American foreign policy. We did the same thing in Kenya. And then this is pointed out why it was sort of like after 9/11. How did that possibly happen? How did that corrigonadotropin get in there? Why, that could never have happened. And the recent polio vaccine they wanted to give in Nigeria, and when they tested that, they found the corrigonadotropin. So they won't use our polio vaccine because they don't trust us. I'll tell you, the people in Africa, many of them are a lot smarter than the American people, because they know what our real agenda is. And, of course, here in America, the average person doesn't understand that one of the major purposes of American foreign policy is worldwide population control. Go up on the website, pull down NSSM 200. NSSM 200, if you don't have access, we do offer that for sale. We'll make copies for you. It's not that expensive, but it is a very large document, and the whole theme is we've got to, of course, not allow these populations throughout the world to increase. It's not about helping the people. It's about controlling their natural resources. It's about preventing them from becoming industrialized countries. It's about keeping them impoverished, but we're never going to really admit that. Well, let's go to Jim calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
I had to get offline to call in, and just as I got connected, I heard you speaking about the vaccines in the Philippines.
Right.
What year was that?
Well, let's see. It was probably about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, because I was well aware of this when I was on a speaking tour, an international speaking tour with Human Life International, which was a pro-life Catholic organization. And I was the token Protestant. We had a wonderful time with these Catholics traveling throughout the world, but it was at least probably 10 to 12 years ago that was going on. And I talked to a doctor probably 2 years ago from Kenya who told me they'd done the same thing over in Kenya.
Well, the biggest reason I called, I'd heard Alex Jones mention that before, but I'd never heard the date. But the reason I called, did you notice, I read Jack Blood has that National Security Memorandum 200, or whatever the document you meant. He has that on his website, by the way.
Okay, fine. Well, anybody can go then.
I read most of that, and did it seem to you almost like Henry Kissinger was recapitulating what Margaret Sanger called the Negro Project?
Sure.
Where she said we have to get some of the clergymen who are black to convince the locals to go along, and he talked much about how they have to have the locals be in charge of that.
They have targeted the blacks. In fact, the AIDS virus is race specific. And if you don't believe that there are people who really want this, who want to kill off certain races, go to the website newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. That is, of course, the project for the New American Century website. John Bolton, Paul Wolfowitz, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, Donald Rumsfeld. Many of our Christian leaders belong to this little group of 25 people who started this whole thing, pulled down the Rebuilding America's Defenses article. I think it's 72 pages long, and there they talk about how wonderful it is now that now we can create new biological diseases that are race-specific. AIDS is race-specific.
That's pretty troublesome when you live in a nation that's called a melting pot.
I know, but AIDS, here in the United States, I think 60% of the new AIDS cases are in blacks. They only make up 10% of the population, and nobody ever asks why that's happening. Oh, it's because they're more promiscuous. So it's because the women are more promiscuous. No, it's because the disease is race-specific. Whites can get the disease, but much more in the blacks.
It was designed
that way.
Kind of like leprosy.
Right. Well, I
read in a magazine, Ebony magazine, that in the state of New Jersey, and I think it's in Newark, black women make up a third of the population, but black women in New Jersey account for half of the AIDS cases in the state.
Well, I wouldn't be so surprised.
Sad situation.
Well, but you see, it's in many parts of the country where they only make 10 or 12% of the population, but still 65% of the new HIV infections and AIDS cases in America are in the blacks. And nobody wants to come out and say what a lot of blacks know, and that this disease has been created to target them. I used to think that was crazy talk. I used to give talks, and I would go around talking on AIDS, and somebody in the audience during the question and answer period would put up their hand, usually a black person, and say, I've heard this disease was created to kill off blacks. Where did it come from? And I'd say, well, you're asking the wrong question. I'd say, why are we trying to stop the disease? Well, I look back and then think, how could I have been so foolish? But I didn't want to believe that anything could be this evil. Once I understood how evil things are, and these people are working at the highest levels of our government, and they're working within the CDC, and I know because I went to the CDC and talked to some of these turkeys there, and they're not there to help us, they're there to harm us. Believe me, it was a real eye-opener. I spent 3 days at the CDC. I could hardly wait to get away from that hellhole. I talked to one honest man. His name was Jim Curran. He was the director of the unit that dealt with the AIDS epidemic. He looked at me and he said, what can I do? I know what needs to be done, but I'm caught in the middle. And I said, you know what needs to be done. Do the right thing. So he did. He quit.
I wanted to let you know before I go, I sent you an email notifying you, but this Saturday morning on Book TV, who's the professor that wrote the Modern Pearl Harbor book about 9/11?
Are you talking about Stinnett?
No, sir.
Oh, you're talking about this new one that
his last name is Griffin.
All right, fine. David Griffin, I think it is.
Is it David Ray Griffin?
Right.
He's got a new book on 9/11, and they're actually going to play his presentation on C-SPAN 2 on the weekend. They have Book TV.
Well, I think he's done a very good job on the new Pearl Harbor, and I would suggest people love. What time is it? Do you have any idea?
I sent it to you. It's, if you look on booktv.org and click on schedule, I think it's Saturday morning at 10:30 Eastern.
Right. Well, I think that
booktv.org.
What they're doing, Jim, is they're putting out so much information intensely to confuse us, because you get so much information you can't begin to catalog it in your mind. And, of course, this is just how you get people so confused. Oh, you only need to ask one or two questions. How did that passports get out of the pockets of two of those hijackers and survive the flaming inferno? Either it was the most miraculous thing in the world, or they were planted, and if they were planted, then the whole thing was a setup.
Just like Arlen Specter.
God bless you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And, of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course we've had a couple of open line programs, and appreciate Jim calling in. Nobody called in the last hour. I don't know whether it's because the subject wasn't interesting or you just wanted to hear what we had to say. Under any circumstances, let me remind you that as of tomorrow, if you're listening on shortwave, why, 15.120 will no longer be there. We will be on 9.495. That's 9.495 for the 2 hours of our afternoon program. For the first hour, we're also going to be on 99.85. That's 9.985. 9.985. Because we want to pick up all those listeners that we lost, when we did switch to the summer frequency. So I hope that you'll listen, that you'll tell other people about that. And, of course, that if you're out there and listening on shortwave, you'll give serious consideration to helping us because, of course, we are primarily listener-supported. And quite frankly, on this situation, having to put on an extra shortwave has been an extremely big commitment. So give us a call at 1-800-544-89. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or of course, subscribe to the newsletter. Or, of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, let me suggest our latest newsletter. That's the March newsletter. It's called Myth of the Two-Party System. That's the Myth of the Two-Party System. We hope that you'll get that, that you'll evaluate it. And then, of course, that you'll help us to get the information out across America, because we're dependent upon you to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day, trying to get people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. So we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to our message. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why you should. It will give you real insight into how you can understand all the things that are going on today, everything is just so contradictory. I mean, we seem to vote for the Republicans, or we vote for the Democrats, and the same policies are carried out by both political parties. And the trouble is, they're both all controlled by the same people, and it's all an illusion, a delusion. That's how you keep the people from understanding how the game is rigged. So, Brotherhood of Darkness, the book, the video, the audio tape, are all three together at the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And then, of course, we do have a video special. We've made a number of videos. If you can stand hearing me talk for some time, why, of course, you can get any five of the videos we produced for $69.95. And if you're in the United States, we pay the postage on that. And then, of course, we have, of course, specials on Vietnam. And we have specials on Oklahoma City, or specials on Waco, or specials on the pagan agenda, or on the intelligence organizations here in the United States, where we take and we put together all sorts of books and videos and four tape sets, and we bundle them together because we want you to get that information. So if you'd like to get a catalog, or go up to our website at radioliberty.com and look at the various specials that we have. We do carry the Berkey products, the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light, and if you buy them through us, well, you'll get a four-tape set or a video that we've produced as a reward for using our services. We do carry the Robinson Homeschool curriculum, and of course, we hope that many of you out there will go to our website, pull down our newsletters, copy the newsletters, get those distributed. You're welcome, of course, if you get any of our tapes, to copy the tapes, as long as you're not making a profit on them. Copy our videos. Copy them right. That's the copyright that we have. Copy them right and get them distributed. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And most people don't even know there's a spiritual battle going on. They don't understand that we're involved in World War III, that many of our boys, they may come home alive, but many of them are going to come down sick, just like they did after the first Gulf War, and the government can't figure why. Isn't that amazing? They just can't figure out what the Gulf War illness is, this entirely new disease that we never saw before. Well, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.